But there, when Esther was wondering, what's wrong with this Mordecai? When she found that there was a law that was given, and then in verse 13, Mordecai gave, when Esther found that from the servant she sent, in chapter 4, verse 13, Mordecai said, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish." In other words, it's telling us, the Holy Spirit is telling us, that if we don't obey Him and what He wants to do, He will always bring forth another deliverance. Just like the Israelites, He told the Israelites. The Israelites were told, because they didn't want to go into the promised land, they will die in the wilderness and their children will go in. It was not God's plan for them to die. But because they refused to move on, deliverance, or rather for them, possession came through another quarter. The land is still conquered, but through different hands. And that's the same thing that continues to happen today. And God called you to the ministry. If you do not fulfill it, and you die halfway because of disobedience, somebody else will take that mantle. And even out there in the secular world, when God places you for certain areas, if you're not faithful to God, and you're not righteous and holy before God to do whatever God wants you to do, and you fail, God will always raise up somewhere. His work will continue on. And here, Esther says, it's the most dangerous thing. Notice Esther's response in verse 16 and 17. After Mordecai said, "Who knows whether you come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knows that what you have received up to now in your position, whether secular or spiritual, God has put you there for such a time as this. You're all born in God's perfect will. But what Esther said in verse 16 and 17 is this: to do what you asked me to do, Mordecai, it will mean surrendering my entire life. Esther says, no one can go to the king. In fact, she said here in verse 11, for 30 days he has not even called me. And in verse 16, she says, you fast and pray for me. If I die, I die. Look at her last sentence. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish. You know what that word is saying? There is no other way to yield to the Holy Spirit and do God's work except dying to ourselves. Where our lives become less important and the work of God and the Holy Spirit become more important. Until we are willing and ready to die for the Lord Jesus, we are not ready to live for the Lord Jesus. It reminds me of a time that Richard Wurmbrand, who was in Russia during those old days of persecution, how a group of Russian soldiers burst into a believers' meeting, pointed their rifle at everybody, and said, "Those of you who are real believers, you stay here. Those for you who are not, you can go quickly out now." And all, a lot of people went off, and left only a few who were willing to die. Surprisingly, the soldiers put down their guns and said, "We only want to worship with real believers." All the rest were not willing to die for the Lord. And one reason I believe why the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit is not manifest as much as it should be in our days is because many are not willing to either die or live for Him. Part of the time we live for ourselves, And then we only surrender a few rooms in our house to God. A few rooms in the house of our heart to Him. But we don't fully surrender to Him. Oh, God has to wait for surrendered lives. But when Esther reached that stage where she was willing to die for the good cause, that was when she reached her highest glory. That was when she reached her highest glory. At any point and any time when you come to the stage where you're able to say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, all to Him you're willing to lay down your lifeblood, that is when you will reach your highest point in God. And you will see the fullest blessings of Christ in your life. But that's something only God can do with our life, personally. So Esther, after 3 days of fasting, chapter 5, which is the final chapter of the first part, after all the fasting and praying, 3 things will result from fasting and praying in that stage. 3 things that are beyond our control. We talk about things that are beyond our control. See, fasting and praying is able to move into areas where we cannot control. 3 things. Number one, the heart of the king. Nobody can control that. In the book of Proverbs 21, verse 1. See, the heart of the king can only be reached by God. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. But how could we reach into that level? True prayer. Prayer changes things. But we could also put a little notice that says, prayer changes people. It does. In ways that we cannot fully understand. In chapter 5 verse 1, we see how Esther came about to the king. Now this is very dangerous. And if there was music at that time, the music in chapter 5 verse 1 would go, da-da-dang, 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 as she approached the king's throne. Verse 1, it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Now we realize it may not be as simple as it is. There was a lot of emotional tension all involved. In fact, Josephus records for us some details of this occasion. Josephus is one of the best historical writings of the Jews. And he records this occasion of Esther approaching the king. And he gives extra descriptions that I think are important for us to consider. So I just bring it along. Now, let me read to you, since you possibly don't have Josephus tonight. In Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews, it says, when Esther had used this supplication for 3 days, he even records the supplication that they prayed, a long prayer recorded here. She put off those garments and changed her habit. In other words, she was also fasting and praying and putting on sackcloth and ashes like Mordecai. And he says, she adorned herself as becometh a queen, and took 2 of her handmaids with her, the one which supported her as she gently leaned upon her, and the other followed after her, and lifted up her large train which swept along the ground.
It was like the wedding dress. So she put on her best. Remember, fasting and prayer. And then you put on all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The garment. So there she was, dressed like a bride. I mean, if you want to die, die gloriously. She said, if I perish, I perish. And so, she's dressed in her best that day. Because if she may die or she may live, she did not know yet. The Proverbs 21 verse 1, the king's heart is in the Lord's hand. And then she approached. Da-da-dang. Da-da-dang. Right with the person next to her. Da-da-dang. But it's not. Dang, dang, da-dang. It's not that tune. Right. This is a different tune. It goes. Da-da-dang. Da-da-dang. Maybe slow march. Da-da-dang. And the king was sitting facing her. And this was the description of the king. It tells a few things about Esther. She said, as she came to the king, she had a blushing redness on her countenance. Rosy cheeks in our language. Beautiful. With a pleasant agreeableness in her behavior. That means she looked very graceful. Da-da-dang, da-da-dang. This Josephus is some guy. Yet, did she go into him with fear? I mean, she emotionally was some tension and fear. And as soon as she was come over against him, that means facing him, as he was sitting on his throne in his royal apparel. Now this is a record and you can check other records. The first thing that the king felt was anger. So this was the... He didn't just see Esther and say, "Oh Esther, come." That's what it looks like in chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 1 and 2. No, as the king... Remember, she was breaking the Persian law. So the king has never had this kind of thing. No queen has ever done that in his entire life. And he was... As I said, short fuse king. So there he was sitting on his throne and he looked at her and he says here, his royal apparel was a garment interwoven with gold and precious stones. Wow, what a king. Which made him seem to her more terrible. Especially when he looked at her somewhat severely. And with a countenance on fire with anger. So as Esther was approaching in the royal robes with a maid behind her, a maid beside her, the king was looking at her in all his royal robes. Holding his scepter. Right? Angrily staring at her. With the anger. And as he looked sternly at her, Josephus records here that her joints failed her immediately out of the dread she was in. She fell sideways in a swoon, pingsan. Now you know why I brought this book, Josephus. So to tell you that history is quite interesting. She was fainting. In other words, she was going to faint, pingsan, leaning on her maid. Oh. Then a miracle happened. Proverbs 21 verse 1 happened. When you fast and pray, God controls what you cannot control. And there is the hand of God on the king's heart. When he saw his beautiful queen, pingsan. In case these tapes go outside of Asia, pingsan means fainted. Fainted. It says here, the king changed his mind. Hallelujah. When he saw her fainted. Now she was not pretending, it was real. And
When the king saw her, this is what happened to the king. The king's heart changed, his whole personality changed. God was there. And here he put, Josephus put, the king changed his mind, which happened, as I suppose, by the will of God.